You all know how much I am a words person. I'm just fascinated by them, inordinately so. But I saw a miniseries on TV, and it taught me about a phrase, about the correct use of a phrase that I'd been familiar with and had misused my whole life. This miniseries, which was about the Unabomber and the way that they caught him through the language that he used in his manifesto, it tells us that the phrase is actually eat your cake and have it too, instead of have your cake and eat it too. Now, they were able to find him because in separate pieces of writing, he had used it exactly the right way, and everybody else said, no, everybody knows. It's have your cake and eat it too. Well, there's nothing special about that. If you have your cake, you're going to eat it. But if you've already eaten your cake, you can't still have it. You're asking to have something to enjoy in the moment and still to have it later on, to eat your cake and have it too. The expression does mean that we want to be able to enjoy something in the moment, but still have it for later. Now, we have stories in the Gospels, especially about the disciples, about how the disciples wanted to keep Jesus with them. They knew that they had the presence of God there, incarnate in Jesus, and they lamented and mourned when they thought of their life without Jesus. They thought that when he would go away, they would no longer have that gift of God present to them. They assumed that God cannot be here still in this person or in this experience. They assumed that God could only appear in preconceived shapes and places. But the presence of God remained after Jesus left. The presence of God has always been here. It was manifested first in creation through God the Father. Then that presence became incarnate with Jesus. And then when Jesus left, he sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to inspire us and to guide us. This Trinity Sunday is something that I resist preaching about because I just don't believe that having the right doctrine is what saves you. And I don't believe that being able to explain it better means that you're closer to God. I do think that it is important to understand that the Trinity means that God is present in all forms, in all places, that God is always with us, not just in the creation, not just in Jesus, not just in the Holy Spirit, but with us always. It is sort of the spiritual gift, the spiritual version of eating our cake and having it too. Beyond the human death of Jesus, the disciples would learn that they still had the presence of God. God is gone in one way, but still with us in many other ways. Now, in human life, we want to be happy and validated, and we want to claim to be followers of a loving and forgiving God. Unfortunately, most of us would always also like to be right most of the time. And these things don't always go together. Sometimes we have to forego being right in order to be loving. We are, after all, disciples of a king who ruled not by power, but who rules by compassion and forgiveness. So to be disciples of Jesus, we have to be kind and compassionate, not correct always, and not condescending. And when we choose to be loving instead of worrying about being right, other people will think we're the ones that get it wrong. like the guy who knew the proper way to use the phrase, people will think, well, bless their hearts, they just don't understand. But there is a prayer in the Book of Common Prayer, and in it we pray for us to have a right judgment in all things. Not to be right in terms of accuracy, but to have a right judgment in all things. And that rightness of judgment before God means that we are to give words that are healing instead of harmful. Our rightness is not something that we use as a human being might to put ourselves above others, to say that we get it and they don't. It is rightness with God. And if we are followers of Jesus Christ, imbued with the Holy Spirit, then we have that right judgment to be loving. I think you have heard me say it before. It is more important to be loving than it is to be right. That idea is the opposite of what most people believe to be true. We have become a society that no longer relates well to one another. We don't even bother to debate one another. We try to silence and win over one another. That's the way of this world. So if we as Christians, as followers of a healing and loving God, choose to live that lifestyle that God asks us to live, many people will think that we are the ones who have it wrong. They'll continually tell us, no, it's supposed to be have your cake and eat it too. Do I have to be right? I prefer it. Or do I want to live in peace? I live in peace because I follow Jesus Christ. I live in peace when I allow this God of the Trinity to create and redeem and comfort me. God, in all of God's forms, asks me to be loving and healing instead of strident and right. And God in all forms empowers me to do that in the face of correction by others. If we as Christians don't insist on being right and in correcting and condescending to others, many other people will think we're the ones who have it wrong. They'll see us failing to assert our independence and our superiority. They'll correct us when we say we want to eat our cake and have it too. I'm trying to say this enough times that it becomes true. I don't care if people think I'm the one who gets it wrong. I'll be saying that for weeks now, hoping it will sink in. I don't care if people think I'm the one who gets it wrong. I am grateful to know that God the Father creates and rules with great power. I'm grateful to know that God came to us in human form through Jesus Christ, that he sent Jesus to live and die as we do. I am grateful that God is still here inspiring me and comforting me through the Holy Spirit. I choose to see God everywhere, creating, incarnate, inspiring. I want to live in the rightness of God, not of humans, and I want God to live in me and work in me and through me. I want to be able to eat my cake and have it too.